As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Yes, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, and welcome to our Tuesday, May the 26th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. That's oraclebroadcasting.com. My name is William Roberts. I've got some good news, hard facts, and hopefully we'll advance a solution or two for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, and I got a plate full of philosophical radicalism for you today. But this is where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. I'm completely distracted in my mind. I've been reading since about 5 o'clock. When we get into deeper philosophical things at that time of the day, it kind of takes the whole day off in a different direction. Nevertheless, let's continue with our intro here. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or you can pick up the telephone and call in. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, Post Office Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. That's Box 96, Exeter, Mo, the Big Mo, 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio Owensville, Micro 1650 AM Buffalo, 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number is 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Commodities were hammered today in early trading, gold retreating below the $950 mark. We'll talk about that briefly. The history of world civilizations, the French Revolution, cause and effect, and some age of reason will be on the plate for today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much more. Let's go to those market reports for Tuesday, May the 26th, 2009. Active trading in New York City. All the markets open again today and getting hammered. As of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, gold was trading off $9.40 below that 950 mark at $948.50. Silver, likewise, taking a real shot across the bow, off 22 cents, trading 1447. Platinum taking the big hit today, off $22, $1,131 an ounce. Palladium off $3, trading at $230. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $940 for a low, $956 for a high. Of course, we shouldn't be surprised that the AM London gold fix was set at $942, bearing bad tidings for gold all day, no doubt. In the other markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on the 22nd, that would be Friday, off 15 points at 82.77, the NASDAQ off 3 points at 16.92, and the S&P closed on Friday down 1 point at 8.87. We'll see where they go today. The U.S. dollar index, the USDX, here's part of the problem, had a little bit of a move up today. Certainly nothing to justify the destruction in the marketplace, but it moved up 38 basis points and trading now strongly again above 80. At 80.44. Crude oil lost $1.08, down at $60.59 for a barrel of light sweet crude. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us. That market's going to close in 7 hours, but we'll be right back.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere. Heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, May the 26th, 2009, to our broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name again is William Roberts. Went into the market reports here in the opening segment of the broadcast, and we see that all of the commodities are down. Stocks closed down on Friday. The only thing that really is driving this market, I think, today is the London gold fix set at 942. So they brought it down by fixing the gold price in London in the AM gold fixing at a very low price value, if you will, by comparison of where it was at the opening bell. So that's going to roll out throughout the entire day and affect the market, I'm sure. They have reasons to do that. I don't quite understand the reasons they do that, but they do. Anyway, let's go into the foreign exchange rates and close out this little bit on the exchanges. The Canadian dollar is trading at 89 cents U.S. All of the foreign exchanges that we follow in our basket of currencies here are also down as the dollar goes up 38 basis points. But the Canadian dollar is trading at 89 cents U.S. The Mexican peso is at 8 cents U.S. The euro, $1.39 U.S. The British pound, $1.59. And the Swiss franc is trading at 92 cents U.S. So that whole basket of currencies is down. The commodities are down. The stock market closed down. Everything's down but the U.S. dollar, which is up. And so I guess it just goes to show you that if you've got trillions of dollars to throw at a problem, you can make one indicator go up and all the rest of the indices go down. Here's an article off Bloomberg by Glenn Sims. May the 26th, Bloomberg, gold may target a record of $1,250 an ounce as a continuation head and shoulders pattern may be forming within a longer-term trend, Standard Bank Group Limited said. citing trading patterns. These would be the chartists, the people that make little charts and graphs, and they try and establish some kind of sense or reason inside of a controlled and manipulated market based on charts and trends. Whether there's any value to that or not is to be determined. We'll have to find out more about it. Let's look at his article, however. A break and close above $1,050 provides a warning that an important breakout has occurred. Darren Grabham, he's going to grab some ham today. Darren Grabham, the bank's technical analyst, wrote in a note yesterday, a head and shoulders pattern is formed when a commodity makes three consecutive peaks, with the middle being the highest. It forms during a series of increases over time. Here's a quote from Grabham. The positive implications are substantial, with the minimum objective situated at $1,250, Grabham wrote. On the downside, gold weakness through $864 turns the outlook bearish, and the weaker trend could then continue towards $802. Take note of that, my friends. Gold for immediate delivery traded little changed at $957.29 an ounce at 8:09 Singapore time, but as we can see, it's down below that now. The precious metal is down 7.4% from its record high of $1,032.70 on March the 17th of 2008. In the near term, a negative bias is expected to dominate in the days ahead as the positive trend has faltered in the $960 to $966.70 area, Grabham wrote. A decline into the $935 zone is anticipated, with $935 regarded as an important support point over the next week or so, he wrote. Quote, we expect gold to enter a period of consolidation below $966.70 before a break higher occurs, setting up a test on $980. So-called support levels are where buy orders are clustered. If 935 gives away, delaying the move higher, the sell-off could continue to a 925, with 915 representing another key near-term support level, Grabham added. Weaknesses through $915 negate the positive outlook, exposing the market to the 895 to 890, 885 area. So we'll see if Grabham has his hams in order and is grabbing the right information. We'll see whether or not the charters do any good. As we see the rest of this week and the next week, perhaps we might test the $885 area. We may go higher. We'll just have to see. I think the whole market is rigged, but nevertheless, that's just my limited bias based on about 7 years of following it. Continuing, here's another article I picked up off the AP this morning. Obama picks Sotomayor for the Supreme Court. Barry the usurper tapped U.S. Circuit Judge Sonia Sotomayor for the Supreme Court on Tuesday. That would be today, officials said, making her the first Hispanic in history to be picked to wear the robes of justice. If confirmed by the Senate, Sotomayor, 54, would succeed retiring Justice David Souter. Two officials described as Obama's decision on condition of anonymity because no formal announcement had been made. Administration officials say Sotomayor would bring more judicial experience to the Supreme Court than any justice confirmed in the past 70 years. A formal announcement was expected by mid-morning today. So anyway, this is breaking news. Let's see. That's about all there is on that. But let me just say this about that. If this Supreme Court justice, this Sonia Sotomayor, was picked because, or tapped because she's a woman, and tapped because she was Hispanic, then I can see that sexism and racism has come absolutely nowhere in the last 40 years. It makes me wonder why the white boys had to give up so much to receive so little. This is another one here. Off Bloomberg, this is the lowest LIBOR hides exceptionally wide bank spreads. And I'm not going to go through this lengthy article. It's 3 pages long. I printed it all out because I want to keep it in my file. But we've been talking about this LIBOR for some time, trying to wrap our minds around what this acronym or what this is all about. this by Gavin Finch off Bloomberg this morning, the drop in the London Interbank Offered Rate. There's your acronym, London Interbank Offered Rate, LIBOR. That's LIBOR. The benchmark for $360 trillion of financial products to a record low masks a growing gap between the rates that the biggest banks charge each other for credit. And that's the whole idea behind this LIBOR. It's like a bunch of Arabs in a sandstorm winking at each other. It is a measure of trust, I guess, or faith for the group inside of insiders. It's what they think that the other bank is willing to pay and what they're good for, I guess, would be one way of simplifying it. But here's back to the article. The difference between the highest and the lowest interest rates banks say they pay for three-month dollar-denominated loans is near the widest this year, according to data compiled by the British Bankers Association. That would be the BBA. The spread signals that lenders still lack confidence in each other, even though measures ranging from the so-called LIBOR-OIS spread to corporate bond sales shows credit markets have recovered from the freeze caused by the September 15th collapse of Lehman Brothers Holdings. So that's that, isn't it? We'll pick it up on the other side of this break and continue the broadcast. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor. Absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
And we are back once again. Now, going into this LIBOR a little bit deeper here, I'm not going to spend very much more time on this, but I do want to bring it to your attention frequently so that when you see these kind of articles pop up on the web, you might take the time and read them. There's more than what I really want to try and cover on the air. I have to remind my listening audience that I'm not an economist. I've read quite a bit on it. Can't ever seem to not be reading about it. It comes up in history all the time. And we're going to talk a little bit about the economic aspect of the French Revolution just in a few moments. But when we're looking at this economic tsunami that we're dealing with today, let's understand that a lot of these cretins that have been running the banking industry for thousands of years are very well aware of this interbank offered rate and this process that they call LIBOR. And they make predictions based upon that, and then we see it translated over here into things like the market report today, where you think you're protecting your savings by investing in gold or silver or platinum or palladium or in the stocks or crude oil or shares or whatever or currencies, only to be disappointed on a regular basis because you've got manipulators in there. It's not a free market. So let's find out a little bit more about LIBOR, why it's important to us, and what some of the bigwigs are thinking in regards to it. It's premature to judge that the credit meltdown is fully over, said Kazuto Uchida, chief economist in Tokyo at the Bank of Tokyo Mitsubishi UFJ Limited, a unit of Japan's largest bank. Quote, banks remain wary of extending credit to each other due to strenuous concerns about counterparty risk. Yeah, I'm sure he speaks beautiful English, but I'll just pretend he doesn't. LIBOR, a benchmark rate for everything from mortgages to company borrowing costs, fell to 0.66% last week from 4.82% on October the 10th. At the same time, the gap between the highest and the lowest accepted quotes reported by the 16 banks that contribute to the London-based BBA, the British Bankers Association, for its calculation of LIBOR, has averaged 7.6 basis points in May, according to Citigroup, Inc. That's up from 4.9 basis points in April and 1.5 basis points in the 6 months before Lehman's bankruptcy. It has widened to 9 basis points on May the 14th, the most since December 3rd. While the spread, calculated by discarding the highest and the lowest of the four quotes before determining the mean of the remaining eight, equates to about $76,000 of interest on a $100 million loan, it represents a growing proportion of LIBOR as the rate declines. On every day but 10 in the past 3 months, the London-based Royal Bank of Scotland Group PLC, which is under government control, submitted the highest rate in the daily survey, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Here's a quote. We'll close it out with this. The dispersion of LIBOR submissions seems to be exceptionally wide, said Mark Chandler, the global head of currency strategy of Brown Brothers Harriman & Company. Quote, there is potential for bifurcation of the financial system between banks perceived to be healthier than others. And so just summarizing all of the rest of this lengthy article, we can just simply say that it's a confidence game. And if the banks don't have confidence amongst each other, then of course they're not going to feel good about loaning money to each other. And as long as there continues to be a lot of discontent among the banking industries, we'll see that roll out in the economy as well. So just a little heads up here. Let's keep an eye on this London interbank offered rate and see how the changes in the LIBOR affect the marketplace. Something a little bit more interesting to me, anyway. It's always, as I stated earlier, it's always interesting for me to go back and read the writings of Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine is an unusual person. He's somebody that history would like to have under the carpet. He was very controversial, but many people credit his common sense and other writings as being the determining factor in the success of the American War for Independence. Few understand his involvement in England and his subsequent involvement in the French Revolution. But as long as we're studying the French Revolution, I'll just bring out a little bit of Thomas Paine. And this particular little bit that I'm going to give you sums up a lot of his thinking. But at the same time, we're caught off here in the middle of a very long work. And so without reading the whole thing, it's difficult to wrap your mind around it. But in The Age of Reason that he wrote, he says a lot, and he says it well. And it really sums up the mood of the intellectual revolution that was happening at this particular time period. And there were other people involved, lots of other people involved in these revolutions and revolutionary thinking. Some of them were absolute prodigies, brilliant, brilliant mental specimens of their time, unaffected as they would be today, perhaps, by all of the various and sundry distractions. They used their mind, the Age of Reason, they used their mind to its utmost. And some of them had parents that took an exceedingly great interest in their education. And some like John Stuart Mill and Jeremy Bentham and James Mill and some of the others were schooled from their childhood, I mean birth virtually, and were prodigies. They, you know, mastering of Greek and Latin and things like that at 3 and 5 years of age, entering into Oxford at 7 and that sort of stuff. An amazing, amazing time period. But we're going to jump right in here and pick up in the middle of the Age of Reason from Thomas Paine. The Greeks were a learned people, but learning with them did not consist in speaking Greek any more than in a Roman's speaking Latin, or a Frenchman's speaking French, or an Englishman's speaking English. From what we know of the Greeks, it does not appear that they knew or studied any language but their own, and this was one cause of their becoming so learned. It afforded them more time to apply themselves to better studies. The schools of the Greeks were of schools of science and philosophy and not of languages. And it is in the knowledge of the things that science and philosophy teach that learning consists. Now I'm going to break in right there, because this basically is a retort, or an apology, if you will, and a condemnation all rolled up together for those that basically were standing on their incredible understanding of the what he calls dead languages, Greek, Latin, etc., at the time, and where he probably did not possess those skills. And so, what he's basically saying is that when you concentrate on studying Greek or Latin or bringing on all of these extra languages in French, etc., you're taking a lot of time away from other studies that you could be perhaps more profitably studying, and at the same time, you still don't really get the grist of the material that the Greeks or the Latins or the French or some of the other philosophers were advancing, because you're caught up in a different language, your own, for instance. Some of this translated into the modern period, where in my lifetime we've gone from teaching Latin and Greek, etc., German and French in schools. Now in America, we only teach Spanish. Be right back. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back once again here on Become Vocal Local, as Jeff Thomas has reminded us. And my name is William Roberts. We're going into a little bit of the work here from Thomas Paine, The Age of Reason, trying to wrap our minds around this idea that he's advancing here regarding the study of languages, and especially with the Greeks, where the schools of the Greeks were schools of science and philosophy and not of languages. And it is the knowledge of the things that the science and philosophy teach that the learning consisted, not the language. But unfortunately for a lot of us, we're dependent upon in this modern age, and as the author here was as well at his time, all the way through the Enlightenment, where we started the Saracens, the Moors, the Mohammedans, the Mahomets, were bringing in a lot of the, and introducing the writings of the Greeks, the Aristotle, Plato's writings, the many others were being brought in and introduced, and it was like an aha experience for so many, St. Thomas Aquinas and so many others. They got hold of this material, and they started to work with it and get it translated into their own tongues, and it was an incredible experience. They couldn't believe what they were reading. It was, had such a profound impact, it changed the course of history. To be reacquainted with our roots, if you will. But we, modern day researchers, myself included in my library, I'm very dependent upon the translations that various authors have made of these great works, his writings of antiquity. my knowledge of Aristotle can be no better because I cannot do Greek. I don't know Greek. I can't translate it. I'm not fluent in any language except English. Although I have a wide array of helps, I've got lots of dictionaries to understand and decipher and work out the various languages, German and French and Greek and Hebrew, Chaldean, Aramaic, and others. But I'm not fluent in those. I can just do the best I can with sources and with dictionaries to try and decode, if you will, or unravel key phrases and sentences, certainly not entire pages or whole works. That's the kind of stuff that an academic and academician would be able to handle perhaps, but I can't. Nevertheless, this is somewhat of what Thomas Paine was pointing at, in that we wouldn't lament that we weren't fluent in all of these various languages. We need to look at what the content was, but unfortunately, some of the content is even occulted, if you will, if we don't understand the language that it was originally written in. It's very difficult to advance boldly understanding of something that was put out in Egyptian hieroglyphs or something that was written by the Hittites or the Phoenicians or the Babylonians or anyone else if we don't understand their languages and we don't have access to the original works. But let's carry on with that. He says, almost all of the scientific learning that now exists came to us from the Greeks or the people who spoke the Greek language. It has therefore become necessary for the people of other nations who spoke a different language that some among them should learn the Greek language in order that the learning of the Greeks might be had and made known to those in the nations by translating the Greek books of science and philosophy into the mother tongue of each nation. So we're dependent upon those translators. We're dependent that they don't have a bias and that they're doing their very level-headed best to give us the most accurate literal translations possible. The study, therefore, of the Greek language, and in the same manner for Latin, Thomas Paine writes, was no other than the drudgery business of a linguist. And the language thus obtained was no other than the means, as it were, the tools employed to obtain the learning the Greeks had. It made no part of the learning itself, and was so distinct from it as to make it exceedingly probable that the persons who had studied Greek sufficiently to translate those works, for instance, such as Euclid's Elements, did not understand any of the learning of the works contained. You see, you can be brilliant in a foreign language and completely ignorant of what it is you're translating, maybe having none of the esoteric knowledge necessary to comprehend what it is that you're writing. Continuing, as there is now nothing new to be learned from the dead languages, all the useful books being already translated, the languages are become useless and the time expended in teaching and learning them wasted. So far as the study of the languages may contribute to the progress in communication of knowledge, quote parenthetically, he says, for it has nothing to do with the creation of knowledge, close parenthesis. It is only in the living languages that new knowledge is to be found, and certain it is that, in general, a youth will learn more of a living language in 1 year than of a dead language in 7. And it is but seldom that the teacher knows much of it himself. The difficulty of learning the dead languages does not arise from any superior obtuseness in the languages themselves, but in their being dead, and the pronunciation entirely lost. It would be the same with any other language when it becomes dead. The best Greek linguist that now exists does not understand Greek so well as a Grecian plowman did, or a Grecian milkmaid, and the same for the Latin, compared with a plowman or a milkmaid of the Romans. It would therefore be advantageous to the state of learning to abolish the study of the dead languages and to make learning consist, as it originally did, in scientific knowledge. Now, at this point, his path and mine would diverge. I do not agree with that at all. I think we should never stop learning these languages, nor stop teaching them, so that we can ensure that throughout all of time coming, we never we never lose our ability to work with them. And, of course, we still have the Greek cab driver that understands Greek, etc. But I disagree. I think that it helps, and it's not necessary for everyone to have all of the esoteric knowledge. It still helps to have a few linguists around. And it also helps to round out someone's mind, to learn other languages. That's kind of a national prejudice that says that you shouldn't take the time to learn other people's languages really closes the door on a lot of things, like communication between nations. Language shapes, as we say on this broadcast, words have meanings, and their meanings are important, and our words shape reality. And in foreign tongues, we take different aspects. In one way, I could say it like this, and I could be completely mistaken here, and if we have any French speakers in the audience, forgive me. But I think it goes something like, qu'est-ce que c'est? As a beginning, when you think about something like, what is a carpenter? Instead of, what is a carpenter, I think in French is, what is it that it is to be a carpenter? It's a vastly different concept. There's far more involved in that inquiry than a simple question, what is a carpenter? But what is it that it is to be a carpenter? That embraces everything there is about the carpenter, not just whether or not he uses a saw and a hammer and, works with lumbers. Continuing again now from Thomas Paine, The Age of Reason, the apology that is sometimes made for continuing to teach the dead languages is that they are taught at a time when a child is not capable of exerting any other mental faculty than that of memory. But that is altogether erroneous. The human mind has a natural disposition to scientific knowledge and to the things connected with it. The first and favorite amusement of a child, even before it begins to play, is that of imitating the works of a man. It builds houses with cards or sticks. It navigates the little ocean of a bowl of water with a paper boat, or dams the stream of a gutter and contrives something which it calls a mill. And it interests itself in the fate of its works with a care that resembles affection. It afterwards goes to school, where its genius is killed by the barren study of a dead language, and the philosopher is lost in the linguist. Part of what he's pointing to in all of this is this box that we find ourselves placed into when we engage in what we might now know as public education. You come in a genius and a philosopher, and you come out a linguist or a technician. And that is a loss of magnitude. Continuing, but the apology that is now made for continuing to teach the dead languages could not be the cause at first of cutting down learning to the narrow and humble sphere of linguistry. The cause, therefore, must be sought somewhere else. In all researches of this kind, the best evidence that can be produced is the internal evidence the thing carries with itself, and the evidence of circumstances that unites with it, both of which, in this case, are not difficult to be discovered. Now, when we come back from this break, we're going to start in on an assault, if you will, on Christianity as a box. We'll pick it up right after this break. Stick with us.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secret of right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Loan modifications don't work. at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for Mortgage Fraud Examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
All right, now let's continue again. And it's so important to understand, I think, that at this particular juncture, where we've been going for the last 20 or so broadcasts is this idea, first of all, of the anarchs, those that at the time of Christ and long before that were recoiling from the idea of having men ruling over men. They could tolerate the idea of the creator of the universe, if you will, as a supreme ruler or deity, but found repugnant the idea of men assuming the position of God on planet Earth and then ruling over others with a rod of iron. And Thomas Paine and the deists and others, and certainly we found plenty of justification for all of this in our study of the Oriental despotisms and the merging of various and sundry beliefs in God and gods and all of that together into what then came to the Western man. But Thomas Paine is definitely, he's got his axe sharpened against this. So let's hear what he has to say. Putting then aside, as a matter of distinct consideration, the outrage offered to the moral justice of God, which he uses capitalized here, by supposing him to make the innocent suffer for the guilty, and also the loose morality and low contrivance of supposing him to change himself into the shape of a man in order to make an excuse to himself for not executing his supposed sentence upon Adam. Putting, I say, those things aside as a matter of distinct consideration, it is certain that what is called the Christian system of faith, including in it the whimsical account of creation, the strange story of Eve, the snake and the apple, the ambiguous idea of a man-god, the corporeal idea of a death of God, the mythological idea of a family of gods, and the Christian system of arithmetic, that three are one and one is three, are all irreconcilable not only to the divine gift of reason that God hath given to man, but to the knowledge that man gains of the power and wisdom of God by the aid of the sciences and by studying the structure of the universe that God hath made. It's pretty strong opening words there. Kind of a condemnation of the evolution of Christianity. But of course, as we study these various anarchs and as we look at these revolutions, and certainly in the French Revolution as I continue today, we're going to see that there's good reason for this. Questioning and even condemnation of what had become at this particular juncture in the 1770s, what had become of something started 2,000 years before us, 1,700 years before Tom Paine. It's like a bunch of whisperers, you know, what's the little game that children play, password. It starts out as perhaps a grain of truth or a total lie, and by the time it comes around the room, it's completely different. We can go to Peter F. Drucker's book, The Concept of Corporation, and we can understand that there was a need at one time, something felt, a need for something, and at the time it was addressed by the establishment of a new doctrine or creed, and then it was converted from a need into an instrument, and then it was converted from an instrument into an institution, and then it was corporatized into the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith, homini domini Christos in pasta, and then it was perverted through the centuries, right up to today. And this is the cycle of corporations that Drucker spoke of in his book as well. It's just a phenomena, if you will. Continuing from Thomas Paine here, he says, "The setters up, therefore, and the advocates of the Christian system of faith could not but foresee the continually progressive knowledge that man would gain by the aid of science, of the power and wisdom of God manifested in the structure of the universe and in all the works of creation, would militate against and call into question the truth of their system of faith. And therefore, it became necessary to their purpose to cut learning down to a size less dangerous to their project, and this they effected by restricting the idea of learning to the dead study of dead languages." And this is an important part. It was something that we haven't covered in our history of the world civilizations, largely because there was so much to cover in all of that. But there's more than one reason why the Dark Ages are called the Dark Ages. It's like clamping down a box on the mind of the people, so to speak, and locking out positive inquiry and trapping the minds of the masses inside of this box with a Christian aperture. Learning was considered dangerous to Christianity. The Bible doesn't tolerate scrutiny very well, in my opinion, and I'm not just making that up. I've spent years and years and years studying that. They not only rejected the study of science out of the Christian schools, but they persecuted it. And it is only within about the last two centuries, again, this was written by Thomas Paine, 1770s, 1800, thereabouts, only within about the last two centuries that the study has been revived. So late as 1610, Galileo, a Florentine, discovered and introduced the use of telescopes, and by applying them to observe the motions and the appearance of the heavenly body, afforded additional means for ascertaining the true structure of the universe. Instead of being esteemed for those discoveries, he was sentenced to renounce them, or the opinions resulting from them, as damnable heresy. And prior to that time, Vigilius was condemned to be burned for asserting that the antipodes, that would be the North Pole and the South Pole, the antipodes, or in other words, that the earth was a globe and habitable in every part where there was land. Yet the truth of this is now too well known even to be told. See, these simple little truths revealed in creation by the Creator to man through reason upset the Christian doctrine. It is the belief of errors not mortally bad, did no mischief. It would make no part of the moral duty of man to oppose and remove them. There was no moral ill in believing the earth was flat like a trencher any more than there was moral virtue in believing that it was round like a globe. Neither was there any moral ill in believing that the Creator made no other world than this, any more than there was moral virtue in believing that He had made millions, and that the infinity of space is filled with worlds. But when a system of religion is made to grow out of a supposed system of creation that is not true, and to unite itself therewith in a manner almost inseparable therefrom, the case assumes an entirely different ground. It is then that errors, not morally bad, become fraught with the same mischiefs as if they were. It is then that the truth, though otherwise indifferent itself, becomes an essential by becoming the criterion that either confirms by corresponding evidence or denies by contradictory evidence the reality of the religion itself. In this view of the case, it is the moral duty of man to obtain every possible evidence that the structure of the heavens or any other part of creation affords with respect to the religion. But this, the supporters of or partisans of the Christian system, as if dreading the result, incessantly opposed, had not only rejected the sciences, but persecuted the professors. Had Newton or Descartes lived 300 or 400 years ago and pursued their studies as they did, it is most probable that they would not have lived to finish them. And had Franklin, that would be Dr. Franklin, Benjamin Franklin, and had Franklin drawn lightning from the clouds at the same time, it would have been at the hazard of expiring for it in flames. Now, I'm going to let this go at this particular juncture. There's so much to know and so much to learn in so little time. We'll pick it up on the other side and we'll dive into the French Revolution. Do stay with us, won't you? We'll be back after this short break.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Tuesday, May the 26th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official website of this network. Visit the homepage today, if you would. Be sure and visit the Oracle members page, and perhaps if you have the wherewithal, you can sign up to become a member, take access of the high-quality streams, etc. You got the newsletter coming. There's a shop there where you can buy Oracle things just in time for summer t-shirts, golf shirts, that sort of things, your doggy tees. All of that helps to support the network and keep us coming on you and at you every day with this kind of information that you're definitely not likely to get anywhere else. You know, there's such a stigma against challenging some of these long-held beliefs like the established two-party political system or even the dogma, if you will, of the various religions, that it's very difficult to find a venue like this where you can hear a little bit of truth in the morning as opposed to a whole lot of propaganda. There are those that would just as soon that we go into the 21st century carrying along all of the useless baggage of the previous 6,500 years so that they can continue to maintain their stranglehold over the people. But if we're going to move into greater and greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control, we're going to have to throw some of that baggage overboard. And so we started out a little bit with a market report, and we find the market saw the commodities are all down today. The banks are still concerned. They don't trust each other. Like a bunch of Arabs winking in a sandstorm. They don't trust each other, so that LIBOR rate is quite wide. And then we started in with Thomas Paine from his Age of Reason. And he had a reason to write that book. But it cost him dearly. It almost cost him his life. And he traveled from place to place trying to keep alive. But it brings us right up back to, up to and back into the French Revolution, which he was a part, as he was instrumental in the American Revolution, as he was instrumental in action happening in England as well. He was definitely an international fellow and an interesting man. But he was not afraid of speaking truth to power, and that's kind of what Become Vocal Local is all about. Once you know it to be a true thing, then just speak it. Don't hold it to yourself. Knowledge held like that, they say you're supposed to put your candle up on a candle stand, not under a bushel basket. But let's go back and continue in this French Revolution as we start looking into it a little bit deeper. There were economic causes, three of them primarily, that brought the help to bring on this French Revolution. And in this, we're going to find ourselves up to our eyeballs in this ideas of nobility and church and state and all of the right, the statists, the absolutists, all of that, the monarchs, the mercantilists, the whole program. And of course, yesterday we said that there were three, we began and we said that there were three real economic causes, and that perhaps we should place at the head of the list the rise of the middle class to a position of extraordinary power and prestige. You know, you go back and look at the writings of Karl Mordecai Marx, and we attack property, and we attack the middle class, and we attack. Well, he was an attack artist. But there's a certain measure of truth in all of these various philosophies, and you just have to weed them out and look at the first causes and the final results. His idea of communism is not so good. But we can't avoid the rise of the middle class. It changed the whole dynamic at the time. And so, when we come back from this break, we'll look at the first three primary causes of the French Revolution and take it where it will go. Be right back.
Amazon.com.
has become a leader in online retail, and it's a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back here on our May the 26th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. Come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. My name is William Roberts. If you just joined us after the top of the hour news break, perhaps from your AM or FM affiliate station, we're deep into a study here of philosophical radicalism from the French Revolution and Thomas Paine, and we're picking it right up with the three primary economic causes of the French Revolution. We can understand how these sorts of things came into play, and then we can learn from the past and see where we're at today, see what's playing today on the same endless screen of history. And then we can look forward into the future and see if we can't avoid some of these mistakes that have been made. But again, what then were the real economic causes? Perhaps we should place at the head of the list the rise of the middle class to a position of extraordinary power and prestige. We covered that yesterday. Let's drop down a little bit more. But above all, it was the demand of the commercial, financial, and industrial leaders for political power commensurate with their economic position, which made the bourgeoisie a revolutionary class. So it was not just the rise of the middle class, but it was also the rise of the captains of finance and industry, the mercantilism of the day, the marriage between the nobility and then their absolute monarchs, the marriage between the financial and moneyed interests and their statist partners, that brought this revolutionary class into existence. Continuing, a demand for political power was not the only consequence of the growing prosperity of the middle class. There was also an increasing clamor for the abandonment of mercantilist policies. We remember from our discussion of the commercial revolution, it was these mercantilist policies, the setting up of these various companies, the Virginia Company, all of the various exploration companies, the East India Company, etc., all these companies, these monopolies, the monopolistic controls of markets and peoples. And there was a clamor for the abandonment of the mercantilist policies. In earlier times, mercantilism had been welcomed by merchants and manufacturers because of its effect in procuring new markets and fostering trade. But those times were at the beginning of the commercial revolution, when business was still in its swaddling clothes. As commerce and industry flourished through succeeding centuries, the bourgeoisie became increasingly confident of its ability to stand on its own collective feet. Key phrase there, collective. The result was a growing tendency to look upon the regulations of mercantilism as oppressive restrictions. Merchants disliked the special monopolies granted to favored companies and the interference with their freedom to buy in foreign markets. And we can see a lot of this today, where people are railing, if you will, and myself included in this, railing against Monsanto and Kellogg Brown and Root, you know, and Halliburton and all. These are still corporations. These are corporations who have risen to the pinnacle, if you will, of corporatist fascist control of marketplaces, gaining major monopolies here, there, and everywhere. The banks, the bankers. We're still talking about the same bunch. It's just that this is the end game of this expansion. And so we try and pull down the very things that brought us out of the misery that we had at other times. And so let's be aware of that. We need to proceed with care here. We need to make sound decisions for the next 100 years, not follow along making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Again, as commerce and industry flourished through the succeeding generations, the bourgeoisie became increasingly confident of its ability to stand on its own collective feet, just as we're saying today. Get all of this off our back, we'll be fine. Laissez-faire, laissez-passer. Merchants disliked the special monopolies granted to favored companies and the interferences with their freedom to buy in foreign markets. Manufacturers chafed under the laws controlling wages, fixing prices, and restricting the purchase of raw materials outside of France and her colonies. These were only a few of the more annoying regulations enforced by a government operating under the twin objectives of paternalism and economic self-sufficiency. Ah, that old elusive self-sufficiency. Perhaps it is not strange that the middle class should have come to think of pure economic liberty as a paradise, worthy to be gained at terrific cost. At any rate, it can scarcely be doubted that the desire of businessmen to be rid of mercantilism was one of the principal causes of the French Revolution. A third factor, mainly economic in character, which contributed much to the outbreak of the French Revolution, was the system of privilege entrenched in the society of the old regime. Privilege. Prior to the revolution, the population of France was divided into three great classes or estates. Many of you have heard this before. The first was composed of the clergy, the second of the nobles, and the third of the common people. But remember that the nobles were not the absolute monarchs. The nobles were disenfranchised in the rise of statism. They're the holdovers from the feudal period, if you will. And of course, the third, the common people. The first estate really included two different ranks. One, the higher clergy. This is your priesthood. The higher clergy, made up of cardinals, archbishops, bishops, and abbots. And two, the lower clergy or the parish priest. Though all of these servants of the church were supposed to be members of a privileged group, in actual fact, a wide gulf separated the two ranks. The lower clergy were frequently just as poor as their humblest parishioners and were generally disposed to sympathize with the common man. By contrast, the higher clergy lived on the fattest fruits of the land and moved in the gay and sophisticated circle of the king and his court. Including no more than about 1% of the total population, they nevertheless owned about 20% of all the land, to say nothing of the vast wealth in the form of castles, paintings, gold, and jewels. Several of the bishops and archbishops had incomes running into the hundreds of thousands of francs. It's quite a while ago. Naturally, most of these gilded prelates gave little attention to religious affairs. Some of them dabbled in politics, aiding the king in maintaining his absolute rule. Others gambled or devoted their energies to more scandalous vices. Though it cannot be assumed that all of them were depraved and neglectful of their professional duties, a sufficient number were corrupt, domineering, and vicious to convince many people that the church was rotten to the core and its leaders were guilty of robbing the people and wasting the nation's resources. We'll be right back.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information, is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Thank you.
And so we're back once again right here on Become Vocal Local, looking at the various causes of the French Revolution. We started out with Thomas Paine. He didn't have really rosy things to say when he talked about the decay, if you will, of religion, especially the Christian faith, and some of the effects of it. And we're seeing that there are and were some very deleterious developments in church even at the time of the French Revolution, and we see that even continuing today with these pedophile priests and all of the rest of the claptrap. And let's just, well, before I go any further, I'll just simply say it this way as well, is that there are those who insist or who are trying desperately to, like I said, drag baggage thousands of years old into this next century. And conditioning patriotism and nationalism and individualism and all of that on the relationship one might develop with these various theological philosophies. And if that is a good thing, then I guess I missed the boat someplace. But let's continue. Here's the Second Estate. The Second Estate, comprising the secular nobility, was also divided into two subordinate castes. At the top were the nobles of the sword, key thing here now. At the top, the Second Estate, the secular nobility, at the top were the nobles of the sword, whose titles went all the way back to the feudal suzerains of the Middle Ages. The knights, if you will, of Malta and other places. The nobles of the sword. The military-industrial complex, perhaps. Beneath them, we're talking the French Revolution now, 1770s, beneath them were the nobles of the robe, whose immediate ancestors had acquired some judicial office conferring a title of nobility. The robe, quote-unquote robe, is the magistrate or judge's gown. These black-robed lawyers. The nobles of the robe and the nobles of the sword, the bar associations, etc. Though commonly despised by their brethren of more ancient lineage, the nobles of the robe were by far the most intelligent and progressive members of the upper class. Let's not overlook that. This is this, if you recall the thing that I've, the analogy that I've used many times, this idea of coming into certain knowledge or skills, talent or ability in our course or our walk in life, and then we go up into the great sandstone wall of life and we carve out a niche. And we crawl up inside of our little niche and then we wall ourselves in with specialized knowledge or skills or training. And then we hang out our shingle and we offer our services to passers-by at the highest price the traffic will bear. And for a long time, these nobles of the robe oftentimes were they're wearing the robe of the Jesuit robe, for instance, the black robes, you know. They were the priesthoods, the upper levels of this, the theologians, the scholars, the teachers. Remember, Thomas Paine was talking about this idea of the teaching of dead languages and all of that perpetuated by the and through the schools that could be only found at the church. Martin Luther, theologian and jurist, prude, lawyer, and professor at Wittenberg or Württemberg. All right. So we see this dichotomy, these two sides of this group, the Second Estate, broken into two parts, the secular nobility, the nobles of the sword, and the nobles of the robe. And it's important for us to understand that these though commonly despised brethren, were by far the most intelligent and the progressive members of the upper classes and were dealing with their products every day that we live, every breath that we take, every move that we make. Because everything has become statutory, codified, statutory, regulated, licensed, and privileged at the end of their pens as they serve the other nobilities, the nobles of the sword. Dropping down here now, several of their numbers became ardent reformers, however, and while a few played prominent roles in the revolution itself, their ranks included such famous critics as the established order as Montesquieu, Mirabeau, and Lafayette. It was the nobles of the sword who really constituted the privileged class in the Second Estate. Together with the higher clergy, they monopolized the leading positions in the government, usually delegating the actual work to subordinates. We see that today. While they owned vast estates, they customarily resided at Versailles and depended upon stewards or bailiffs to extort enough from the peasants to provide for their luxurious needs. Few indeed of these high-born wastrels performed any useful function. Now, who are the useless eaters, I ask you? They acted as if they believed that their only responsibilities to society were to flatter the king, to cultivate the graces of courtly life, and occasionally to patronize the decadent classical arts. In a very real sense, most of them were worthless parasites, consuming the wealth which others had labored hard to produce. Hear, hear to our author, Edward McNall Burns. Among the most valuable privileges of clerics and nobles were those relating to taxation. And the inequitable system of taxation may well be considered a fourth economic cause of the French Revolution. Taxes in France, long before 1789, had come to consist of two main types. First, there were the direct taxes, which included the tail or the tax on real and personal property. Are you paying tax on your real and personal property? Then the capitation or the poll tax. And then the vis thiem, or the tax on the incomes, originally at the rate of 5%, but in the 18th century, more commonly 10 or 11%. Boy, wouldn't that be a blessing for us in America today? 10 or 11%, a mere tithe. The indirect taxes, or the taxes added to the price of commodities and paid by the ultimate consumer, embraced mainly the tariffs on articles imported from foreign countries and the tolls levied on goods shipped from one province of France to another. In addition, the gabel, or the tax on salt, may also be considered a form of indirect tax, for some of the production of salt had been a state monopoly in France, and every individual inhabitant was required to buy at least 7 pounds a year from the government works. To the cost of production was added a heavy tax, with the result that the price to the consumer was often as much as 50 or 60 times the actual value of the salt. While exceedingly burdensome, the indirect taxes were not as a rule unfairly distributed. It was difficult, of course, for anyone, regardless of his social status, to avoid paying them. Sound familiar? The case of most of the direct taxes, however, was far otherwise. The clergy, by virtue of the medieval rule that the property of the church could not be taxed by the state, escaped both the payment of tail and visitant. Pick it up on the other side, the 501c3 churches of antiquity.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy.
This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Right Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
We're going into the oppression today. We've taken our topics before. We can do it again.
Loan modifications don't work, at least not without some leverage from a forensic audit by mortgage fraud examiners. Have your payments skyrocketed under an adjustable rate mortgage? Have you been laid off or had your hours cut? Are balloon payments coming due? Congress and the White House are pinning their hopes on homeowners renegotiating their mortgages to stop the housing crisis. Trouble is, the banks are saying no 80% of the time. That's where Mortgage Fraud Examiners comes in. They perform forensic loan audits and appraisals to find legal deficits in your mortgage. They estimate that up to 85% of all mortgages have legal problems. Banks and lenders suddenly start cooperating if faced with a lawsuit for violating lending laws or appraisal fraud. You could gain some powerful ammunition to use for mortgage fraud examiners. Get more information at www.mortgagefraudexaminers.com or call 800-540-EXAM. That's 800-540-3926.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we're back again looking at these various estates and all the various reasons why the French Revolution came to pass. And I think it's informative for us because we can see that, as they say, as times change, things remain the same. But you can only go so far with these various and sundry inventions of man, various kinds of governments, instructions, institutions. I don't really have a primary problem with government per se. It's the idea of the state and then all of the various and sundry decayed institutions of the state that are most offensive, to me anyway. But let's go on. As a result, the main task of providing funds for the government fell upon the common people, or members of the Third Estate, and since few of the artisans and laborers had much that could be taxed, the chief burden had to be borne by the peasants and the bourgeoisie. So we can see that it's basically the same deal, same drill. I find it greatly offensive that recently with this Child Health Care Act, whatever this thing was, that Barry the usurper passed right off the bat, laid a $24 a pound tax on my rolling tobacco. This is horrible. What an abuse. Unreasonable beyond the wildest measure. And yet, because it's focused upon a minority of the population, that minority has no political voice, and that minority will just have to suffer the burden of this abusive tax made and laid by the usurper. And all of the socialist panderers that would steal from Peter, to pay Paul. But these are the things, this is the stuff, if you will, the revolution is made out of. A final chief, final economic cause of the revolution was the survival of relics of feudalism in France as late as 1789. While the feudal system itself had long since become extinct, vestiges of it remained and served as convenient instruments for maintaining the power of the king and the privileged position of the nobles. In some backward areas of the country, this would be France, serfdom still lingered. But the prevalence of this institution must not be exaggerated. The highest estimate ever given of the number of peasants who were yet serfs is 1,500,000 out of a total population, a rural population, of at least 15 million. The vast majority of the peasants were freemen. A considerable proportion owned the lands they cultivated. Others were tenants or hired laborers. But the largest percentage appear to have been sharecroppers, farming the lands of the nobles for a portion of the harvest, generally ranging from a third to a half. However, even those peasants who were entirely free were still required to perform obligations which had come down from the feudal age. One of the most odious of these was the payment of an annual rent to the lord who had formerly controlled the land. That's your property tax. That's your property tax. Particularly odious to the French was the payment of an annual rental to the lord who had formerly controlled the land. Another was the donation to the local noble of a share of the price recovered whenever a tract of land was sold. There's your property taxes. There's the transfer stamps, the tax stamps. There's your capital gains tax. All just remnants of the old feudal system brought in by the nobles of the robe. In addition, the peasants were still required to contribute to the banalities. Or fees supposedly for the use of various facilities owned by the noble. Here are the taxes that you have to pay for the hospital district and the school district, your ambulance district, your road district, your conservation districts, and all of these banalities. During the Middle Ages, banalities had been paid for the use of the lord's flour mill, his wine press, and his bake oven, and we can say in his roads, and his bridges, and his aqueducts, and his water systems, and all of the rest. In spite of the fact that by the 18th century, many of the peasants owned such equipment themselves and no longer benefited by the services provided by the noble, the banalities were still collected in the original amounts. Probably the most exasperating of all the relics of feudalism were the corvée, or corvée. I think it's corvée. And the hunting privileges of the nobility. The corvée, formerly a requirement of labor on the lord's demesnes and in the building of roads and bridges on manorial estates, was now an obligation to the government. For several weeks each year, the peasant was forced to put his own work aside and devote his labor to maintaining the public highways, and we have Barry the Usurper advancing the civilian corps concept again today. Even greater inconvenience was suffered by the rural citizens as a result of the hunting privileges of the nobles. And again, having lived from some 12 or 14 years on rural land, with a creek and a pasture and all of that, with wild turkey and deer living on the land, being born on the land, and still have to suffer having people come along and shoot the animals and the game off of your property. They're the ones that are buying the permits. They're the ones that are out there all dressed up in their Cabela's clothing. And yet the state gets all of the reward for that, and the corporations get all of the reward for that, and the landowner gets nothing but a gut pile, a bunch of flies, and a mess to clean up. not so much as a thank you for raising up this fine buck deer that I just shot off your land, drug into my pickup, gutted out, and left the mess on your land for your dogs to choke on. Anyway, dropping down a little bit further here, then there's some intellectual causes, the liberal and the democratic theories. Now we're starting to get into some of the real meat and potatoes of this revolutionary period. Every great social upheaval of modern times has developed out of a background of intellectual causes. Here on the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America, every great social upheaval of modern times has developed out of a background of intellectual causes. Before a movement can reach the proportions of an actual revolution, it is necessary that it be supported by a body of ideas, providing not only a program of action, but a glorious vision of the new order that is finally to be achieved, and there are at least two sides to this coin. Over and over again, I refer on this broadcast to Agenda 21, the program of action for the 21st century sustainable development, that glorious Vision 2020 statement of the new order. Conversely, we talk about property here. This idea of moving into greater and greater measures of freedom and less despotic control and tyranny as the antithesis or the very nemesis of globalism. The idea of becoming vocal local and restoring a constitutionally limited republican form of representative government. And the abolition of the established two-party political system that stands as a barrier, as a mediary, as a middleman, as a used car salesman, as a huckster between the people and their system of government. To a large extent, the author continues here, Mr. McNall Burns, to a large extent, these ideas are the product of political and economic ambitions, but in time they take on the significance of independent factors. Originally secondary or derivative causes, they ultimately become primary causes. Eventually, the fulfillment of the ideas is accepted as an end in itself, and draws the allegiance of men like the gospel of a new religion, the new world order, the new religion of the order. Climate change, peak oil, sustainable development, like the gospel of a new religion. The intellectual causes of the French Revolution were mainly an outgrowth of the Enlightenment. This movement produced two interesting political theories which have exerted influence ever since. We'll pick those up on the other side. Stay with me.
The 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. Liberty State. BumperStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
And we've returned right here. Yes, we're always dealing with the controllers. We're always dealing with the people who believe they know what is best for you, and by golly, you better do what they say, because they do know what's best for you and you don't. Well, anyway, let's get into the intellectual causes here a little bit further. It was mainly an outgrowth of the Enlightenment, and this movement produced two interesting political theories which have exerted great influence ever since, our author writes. The first was the liberal theory of such writers as Locke and Montesquieu, and the second was the democratic theory of Rousseau. Yet today, as I often say, you know, what's liberal, what's conservative? What's conservative today was liberal yesterday. What was liberal yesterday is conservative today. All this, what's liberal, what's conservative? So here today we have the conservative, supposedly, championing Locke when Locke is a liberal, or was in his day. And then we have the democratic theory of Rousseau, and that might be very collectivist if we studied it carefully. While the two were fundamentally opposed, they nevertheless had elements in common. Both were predicated upon the assumption that the state is a necessary evil and that government rests upon a contractual basis. State and government. If we have to repeat it 1,000 times, there's a difference between state and statism and government. But here, the idea that the state is a necessary evil and that government rests upon a contractual basis. Contracts. Each had its doctrine of popular sovereignty, although with contrasting interpretations. And finally, both upheld in some measure the fundamental rights of the individual. Key phrase, in some measure, some with a smaller scoop than others. The father of the liberal theory of the 17th and the 18th century was John Locke. He lived from 1632 to 1704, and although several of its doctrines had already been suggested in the writings of John Milton and James Harrington and Algernon Sidney, Locke's political philosophy is contained chiefly in his second treatise of civil government, published in 1690. Now, for those of you that go back and listen to these archives time and again, you might make a note of that. And if you don't have Locke's second treatise of civil government, published in 1690 originally, in some form or another in your own library, you might look it up. In this, he developed the theory of limited government, which was used to justify the new system of parliamentary rule set up in England as a result of the Glorious Revolution. And there's a whole bunch to know about parliamentarianism and the parliamentary process, but that's beyond the scope of this. He maintained that originally all men had lived in a state of nature in which absolute freedom and equality prevailed, and there was no governor of any kind. The only law was the law of nature, which each individual enforced for himself in order to protect his natural rights to life, liberty, and property. It was not long, however, until men began to perceive that the inconveniences of the state of nature greatly outweighed its advantages. All men at war against all men. With every individual attempting to enforce his own rights, confusion and insecurity were the unavoidable results. Accordingly, the people agreed among themselves to establish a civil government or a civil society, set up a government, and to surrender certain powers to it. But they did not make that government absolute. The only power they conferred upon it was the executive power of the law of nature. Since the state is nothing but the joint power of all the members of society, its authority, quote, can be no more than those persons had in a state of nature before they entered into a society and gave it up to the community, close quote. So we give our rights to the government and then we get it back from them. They secure it, the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We'll go through all of these various and sundries and start getting deeper into some of these various philosophers. It's important to actually read their writings. So much of what we take for granted today, so much of what we even use in our own day-to-day language, even the hosts on various networks, the language that we use is sometimes just lifted in little snippets from much greater treatises and philosophies that those that use those snippets don't even know exist or have ever read. They don't know the end game of some of these programs, but will advance portions of it, picking and choosing, cherry-picking the little phrases that they like. Continuing here from the idea about Locke and his philosophy, all powers not expressly surrendered and are reserved to the people themselves. If the government exceeds or abuses the authority explicitly granted in the political contract, it becomes tyrannical, and the people then have the right to dissolve it or rebel against it and overthrow it. Locke condemned absolutism in every form. He denounced despotic monarchy, but he was no less severe in his strictures against the absolute sovereignty of Parliament. Though he defended the supremacy of the lawmaking branch, with the executive primarily an agent of the legislature, he nevertheless refused to concede to the representatives of the people an unlimited power. Nor do I. Arguing that government was instituted among men for the preservation of property, which he generally defined in the inclusive sense of life, liberty, and estate. There's your state again, Atatis. He denied the authority of any political agency to invade the natural rights of a single individual. The law of nature, which embodies these rights, is an automatic limitation upon every branch of government. Regardless of how large a majority of the people's representatives should demand the restriction of freedom of speech or the confiscation of the redistribution of property, no such action could legally be taken. If taken illegally, it would justify effective measures of resistance on the part of the majority of the citizens. Locke was much more concerned with protecting individual liberty than he was with promoting stability or social progress. If forced to make a choice, he would have preferred the evils of anarchy to those of despotism in any form. And so we can see and find even here our concept anarchy. No ruler. No magistrate. No rulers of the synagogue, so to speak, of Satan. But the idea of law and the natural law have to be understood better to comprehend Locke's writings. But it's brilliant the way that our author is able to take hundreds and hundreds of pages and so accurately and poignantly condense them to so few sentences. The influence of few political philosophers in the history of the world has exceeded that of Locke. Not only were his doctrines of natural rights, limited government, and the right of resistance against tyranny an important source of French revolutionary theory, but they found ready acceptance in the American thought as well. They furnished most of the theoretical foundation for the colonial revolt against British oppression. They were reflected so clearly in the Declaration of Independence that whole passages of that document might almost have been copied from the Second Treatise of Civil Government. Lockean principles also influenced the drafting of the Constitution, and especially the arguments advanced by Hamilton, Madison, and Jay and the Federalists, urging its ratification. Later, when the new government enacted the Alien and Sedition Laws, it was mainly on the basis of Lockean theory that Madison and Jefferson, in the Virginia and Kentucky resolutions, appealed to the several states to resist the usurpation of power. And today, carrying on from Bush and Clinton and Bush, Barry the usurper is finding that usurpation of powers are meeting Lockean resistance in the form of resolutions, the 10th Amendment resolutions coming forward now from the several states. We'll pick it up there again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Until then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
History will always remember those who strong swords. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.